Today's scripture reading is Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that had foundations, whose architects and builders is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received powers of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promise, but from a distance they saw and greeted him. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have opportunities to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning again, church. I want to, officially welcome you to worship this morning and to say, because I haven't said it yet, my name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Austin. I hope it feels good. I think it is good, isn't it, for us to take time this morning on the brink of summer to push pause on our busy lives, the long list of things that I am sure you have got to do today, to set that down for a minute and to come together, to let ourselves be gathered up by God's Spirit and to be caught up, swept up in what God is doing in the world and in even in your life. We come here and for a moment we are able, I hope, able to let down our guard. We set down our fear, we set down our striving, and we just let ourselves be open to the God of love who is putting breath in our lungs, who is pouring love into every corner, every nook and cranny of this world. And here we prepare ourselves to go out and to see it, to be able to identify that God is at work. You have heard us say it again and again, if you've been here for any amount of time, that we say transformation happens here. That is our tagline. And I believe it's true. I pray for it to be true. I believe that church is meant to be a place, a community, where we are changed. I often say that if you've been going to church for 20 years and you are no different than now than when you got here 20 years ago, then one of us is doing it wrong. The Holy Spirit is far too wily to allow that to happen, for you to go unchanged in God's presence. But I always want to be digging into what we really mean by that. Transformation happens here. What do we mean by transformation? What does it look like? How do you break it down? So every so often, when we have a Sunday that we are not in the middle of a series or on a special, you know, high holy day or something, I want to touch back and to give you a different angle on that statement. I want to fill in a different word. Sort of like a subset of transformation, another word that describes a piece of that transformation. We did this, you didn't even know it, we did it a few weeks ago when I talked about awakening, about that moment when Jesus broke the bread with the disciples that had been walking to Emmaus. Jesus broke the bread and suddenly they realized it was him and then poof, he was gone. That sort of flash of a moment when you recognize that God has been here, even if it's just a fleeting moment. That is a piece, I believe, of the transformation that God is doing in us when we sort of awaken to God being present in the world and in our lives. we awaken even to our own spiritual sensibilities, to the fact that we are spiritual creatures, that is a piece of transformation that God is doing. So today I want to tease another little piece of this transformation out, what God's work in our lives looks like. And I want to start by talking about faith. Tom R. is a retired Presbyterian minister who I really admire, and he made this observation that I found really helpful. He was talking about churches that I think are like ours, churches that can sometimes be really heavily focused on what some would call mission work, doing work of mercy and justice in the community and out in the world, serving so that we can begin to think that that is really the core of being church, that is what church is, that is what church should be. And so he said, mission churches like that can sometimes assume that what draws everyone is the light that we are shining in the city. But our capacity to reflect that light of Christ to others is connected to our capacity to stand in that light. He said, we all have different seasons in our lives. Sometimes we're serving, but sometimes we need to be fed. Sometimes we need care and comfort. And sometimes we just need our faith to grow. One of the ways that God is at work in our lives, and hopefully through the church, is simply by growing our faith. But I don't know about you. In my experience, faith is a vague, tricky word. And it's even it's a squirrelier concept. In our culture, when we talk about faith, we might mean a lot of different things, or we might kind of mean nothing at all. People throw around faith. Well, you've just got to have a little faith. You've got to take a leap of faith. You've got to keep the faith. Have faith over fear. And the truth is that it can begin to sound more and more like just one of those empty phrases that religious people say. Don't you find that to be true? When people use the word faith with me, I often want to ask what they mean by it. When you assure me that you have faith, I want to ask, well, faith in who? I want to ask, well, faith that what? That what's going to happen? Someone who I know who works in sales was once telling me about how she was trying to make this big sale and really hoping that it was going to come through because it was going to mean a huge windfall for her business and for her family. And in the end, she assured me, but don't worry, I have faith that it's going to happen. And that really caught me. I thought, is that what faith is? Is faith the belief that God will give us what we want? Is faith the quarter that we put in God's gumball machine so that when we turn the crank of prayer, then what we want pops out, the gumball, we get it? I'm really dating myself. I don't know if they even have the crank turning kind of thing. Now you swipe your card and you push the... But you get what I'm saying? Is faith a protection? Is it like a shield that keeps bad things away? If we just have faith, then bad things won't happen to us? Is faith the belief that God will protect us from suffering or from death? This book of Hebrews it's not exactly like the other books that are around it in the Bible. It's kind of nestled in mostly with a lot of letters from people like the Apostle Paul. But Hebrews is more like a sermon. So I'm preaching a sermon on a sermon today. But from what we can tell, this sermon is being preached to a group of people a group of Christians who are being persecuted for being followers of Jesus. And scholars kind of infer here that these Christians, they're probably not experiencing martyrdom at this point. They're not being killed for their faith, but they are suffering. They're being thrown in prison. They are being having their possessions plundered. They are just on the receiving end of a lot of hostility and ridicule in their community for being followers of Jesus. And so the preacher of the sermon is trying to encourage them, and he urges them essentially to have faith. He goes into this whole exploration for the better part of chapter 11 to encourage them, telling them that what they need in this hard time is to have faith. But here's the irony. Their faith is the very thing that got them in this mess in the first place. Their faith is the very cause of their trouble. It is the thing that is endangering them. So if the goal is to avoid suffering, if the goal is to protect them from danger so that they can have a comfortable life, then really the best advice that the preacher can give is to stop having faith. Abandon the whole thing and go be like everybody else. And then maybe they'll leave you alone. But I don't think that that's the goal of faith. I don't think that that is what faith is for. The preacher here in Hebrews helps us to see that at its heart, faith is really about trust. Growing in faith means that we are learning more and more to trust that what God promises is a better offer than what the world might make for us. When the world says, well, you'll be happier if you put yourself first, God says, you'll find a fuller life if you put others before you. Faith is trusting that that promise is true and then acting on it. When the world says, well, you'll be much more secure if you keep all that money to yourself, God says, actually, you have more than what you need. Put your treasure in my hands, and you'll learn to trust that I will take care of you. When the world says that the only way to be safe is to have control and to wield power and to dominate others, God says, trust the safety that I provide so that you can choose to love instead. This preacher tells us that faith looks like coming back to God's way again and again. Even when God's way is harder, even when God's way doesn't look very successful, even when God's way leads to suffering, faith means taking Jesus at his word when he says that those who lay down their life will find it. Faith looks like setting down the things that I want and learning to yield to what God wants, learning to want what God wants. Faith looks like trusting in God's promises again and again, even when you won't be around long enough to see the promise fulfilled, like Abraham. Faith looks like giving your life to the things that will far outlast you. The preacher points us to Abraham, to all the many times that Abraham had faith. Abraham trusted God's promise. But here's the thing. The people who were first listening to this sermon, they knew the story of Abraham. And they knew that just like them, just like all of us, Abraham had a spotty record of faith. He was in and out of faith, in and out of trust. He was following God one minute, and then the next minute he was trying to make it all work on his own terms. Does that sound familiar? So part of having faith is trusting God with our failure, to trust God with our doubt, with our seasons of faithlessness, to trust that God is still working in spite of ourselves, and God will bring us back onto the path when we are ready and willing to walk it. Faith looks like trusting in the slow work of God, both in you and in this wide world, and learning to choose your path, to make your choices not out of fear, not out of protection, not out of ego or getting what is due to you, but out of trust that God's way of love, that is what leads to abundant life for us and for all. Trust happens here. It isn't perfect. It's always messy. But I pray that by God's grace that you are learning to trust, that God holds your life, your family, our church, this country, all of our future. I pray that in that trust of God that you will find freedom from fear, from greed, from that impulse to dominate, that God would give faith so that you are free to love. May it be so for you this week. Amen.